Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. It offers flexible spending capacity that adapts to your business. You can also earn up to $395 in annual statement credits on eligible purchases at select business merchants. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.
Freaking first cut. Golly.
Welcome to the First Cut Podcast. I'm Rick Gaiman, and this is your Wells Fargo Championship first look. The first time we've ever done something like this. Interesting to give just a little bit of an appetizer heading into the week. And joining me to break it all down, Sia Najad is here. Sia, welcome to the first ever first look.
Happy to be here, Rick. Thank you. And honestly, I think it's about time, you know, this comes around, because I know even come Saturday, especially with some lineups that people have in DFS that might be kind of dead or wilting, people want to know what's coming up next, whether it's Saturday or Sunday. So I love the fact that we're doing this.
Wilting is the perfect way to describe my lineups at the moment for Valspar. And you're right, because this is actually one of the questions I get a lot on my website is like on the weekend. It's like, when does the next tournament come out? When can I start doing research? When can I start looking ahead? Because I think you're right, on the weekend, a lot of us have wilting lineups and we're looking to get an edge for next week. And that's what the purpose of this is.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, let's be honest. There's a lot of things that might be going on. Like, I have my DFS lineups. They're not dead, but they're okay. But I mean, I have an outright on Tringali. If you remember, that was one of my first three initial bets. And then I had a Keegan first round leader, which was nice. So I'm going for the double play here. But not. I mean, I'm just saying there's still reason to watch even when your DFS lineups might be, you know, wilting. But the point is, everybody wants to get started early, and I'm one of those people. So whether it's Saturday or Sunday or Monday, let's get it going.
Let's get it going. Indeed, the Wells Fargo Championship dates back to 2003. It's going to be played at Quail Hollow, which it has been played at every year in its existence except for one. That was 2017, when Quail Hollow hosted the PGA Championship. And a reminder that this event was not played in 2020. So our defending champion, Max Homa, won this in 2019. More on him in just a second. But let's talk about the course. Quail Hollow, it's your big boy course. See, it's a par 71. It's 7,600 yards. Our friends over at Data Golf give us a couple of comps like Chapultepec, Winged Foot, the Nicholas Tournament course. That's the Desert Classic, the Stadium course. That's the Players Championship. So this is certainly not going to be an easy course. There's some low numbers out there. We'll talk about the Green Mile, but you got to bring your A game around here.
You got to bring your A game and you got to bring your driver. I mean, the reality is the last few weeks, maybe it's even been more than that, we haven't really been leaning on driving distance or particularly off the tee quite as much as we might be with approach or even around the green game, things of that nature. Well, let's bring out the heavy hitters now, because they are definitely going to have an advantage, whether it's the par threes, the par fours, or the par fives. These are all of them are going to play long, and they're all sort of, at least relative to other courses, they're all relatively long. So that puts people that might not always be on my radar sort of back in play. So, and I'm sure we'll discuss some of those names later.
Three of the four par threes are over 200 yards. The one that does not play over 200 yards is on the scorecard at like 188. So, you know, they can move that back closer to 200. They can move it up a little bit. But I'm glad you brought up off the tee and driving distance. As you know, Sia, I have this database that every single year, and we have great history at Quail Hollow because it's been here every single year. And I run the math and say, okay, what stats have most commonly or most closely correlated to success? And you're absolutely right. Strokes gained off the tee was number one. There were only four courses on the PGA Tour where strokes gained off the tee is more important. Driving distance was 14th, which means there's only 13 other courses where driving distance was as closely correlated to success as Quail Hollow. So, I mean, right off the bat, you're thinking about the Bryson DeChambeaus, the John Rahms, the Justin Thomases, even maybe that man Rory McIlroy.
Yeah, I mean, those names, I mean, Rory McIlroy.
we'll talk about him.
we'll talk about him all week, I'm sure. So he's, I mean, I'm just full disclosure, like he's probably not going to be on my radar when we do our DFS show tomorrow. But this certainly would, with his history, this and the way he hits the ball, this is certainly a great course for him. Some of those names you mentioned, yeah, Bryson's definitely on my radar. That doesn't mean, by the way, I'm going to rule out some of the like relatively short hitters, you know, relative to the Rorys and the Rahms, because you only have a handful of those, you know, when it comes to that. But there's other guys on my, like Joaquin Niemann, you know, he rates out, he's great off the tee. You know, I've done some initial modeling, just, you know, just kind of preliminary stuff that I'm sure I'll tweak a little bit. But names like Niemann, I mean, Sung J.M., John Rahm, you might have mentioned, Corey Connors, you know, Griot's been really good off the tee too. So there's a lot of these guys that are already sort of in play for me early on a Sunday afternoon.
We mentioned that Max Homa won this event in 2019. I'm going to skip Rory McIlroy here in a second. Jason Day, he won it in 2018. And we're giving Justin Thomas kind of a nod since he won the PGA Championship here at Quail Hollow. But it is Rory who we are going to see tee it up for the first time since the Masters, who is the only two-time winner of this event. Not only does he have the all-time scoring record, but he also has the largest margin of victory, 7 strokes, both of those obviously coming in the same year. That was in 2015. We know Rory has entered into a more official professional relationship with a swing coach. I'm wondering if he's used these valuable weeks since the Masters to potentially get a little bit right, go back to a place where he has a lot of great vibes. See ya. You see what I'm doing? I'm talking myself into Rory McIlroy on a Sunday afternoon.
Well, you're kind of talking me into it a little bit too, because as you were talking, I'm looking at his stats over the last 50 rounds, and they're not like super, super alarming. I mean, you've said this really ad nauseum, if you think about it, because, and that's kind of a credit to you, because what you've said about Rory is, hey, listen, if Rory doesn't win, or if he doesn't top three, we all just kind of say, oh, Rory's just in, you know, just in terrible form. And you're right. Like we grade guys like Rory on a different scale than we grade, you know, let's say the Corey Connors of the world. But, you know, as I look at his stats over just this calendar year, I mean, obviously the putter has been a problem, but outside of that, he hasn't really been horrific in any other category. Around the green, he's been a little rough as well, no pun intended. But I mean, listen, am I going to have a lot of lineups with Rory? I swear I didn't plan that joke, by the way. It just happened. Am I going to have a lot of Rory? No. Am I going to have a share? Yeah, maybe. But I just, like I said, Rory has a great history here, but his recent history is just not good enough for me to be leaning on.
Also making his first start since the Masters is Bryson DeChambeau, the world's number 5 player. Again, this is really how we look at these guys. His last two starts haven't been good. He did not get out of his group at the match play, and he finished T46 at the Masters. If your name is Bryson DeChambeau, those are disappointments, but we are only 3 starts removed from his third place finish at the Players' Championship. We're only 4 removed from his victory at the API, the Arnold Palmer Invitational. We know this is a course that is going to benefit those who hit it a long way, who gain a lot of strokes off the tee. And if that's the key stat, then it's Bryson. See ya.
Yeah, I mean, he's going to be number 1 off the tee. And if he's wayward off the tee, it's not going to destroy him. So we know how he does when he's, you know, in the rough, whether it's the primary rough or something a little bit thicker than that. So I like Bryson. I'm not usually on Team Bryson. I don't fall in love with the fact that he can hit it a mile. But with that said, I mean, I think I'm going to have to buy. If there was a course for me to buy in with Bryson DeChambeau, it would probably be this one.
The name that I'll be looking for Monday morning when these odds drop and seeing what the numbers are, that name is Justin Thomas. And he is doing what he does, which is, again, this, he has 4 holes to play at the Valspar. He is 2nd in that event in strokes gained tee to green, and he is losing 6 strokes putting. See it. We have seen this countless times from Justin Thomas. Now, I would argue it often doesn't take him long to get right. I'm going through the logs at rickrungood.com. He lost 5.8 strokes at the Genesis Invitational. 2 starts after that, he won the Players Championship. The last time he lost at least five strokes in a single tournament. The time before that, it was the Travelers Championship in 2019. It was only three starts later, he won the BMW Championship. So if we're following this type of trend, it usually ends with Justin Thomas winning an event in the very short future because he's able to eventually get right with the putter.
Yeah, and this is the formula you talk about with every elite player on the PGA Tour. Just a couple months ago, we were talking about that with Colin Morikawa and how we expect him to win because we expect putter regression, and that's exactly what happened. So, I mean, listen, Keegan Bradley's leading this tournament right now, and he's a bad putter. You know, every once in a while, he is going to find the putter. A guy like Justin Thomas, same thing. I expect him to find the putter. Is he going to be one of my favorite guys this week? I'm not really sure whether it's outright or DFS. I'm going to have to assess that from a pricing and a value standpoint. But yeah, I think Justin Thomas is definitely in play.
Without looking this up, do not look this up. How would you, what adjectives would you use to assess John Rahm's recent play?
I would say very good, but not John Rahm-esque.
I think that's fair, right? I think that is how most people would assess it. They would say, oh, he's been fine. He's been good. I don't think anyone would say he's been great or he's been awesome or anything like that. Well, he has eight top 10 finishes in his last 10 starts. Eight of his last 10, he is finishing on the first page of leaderboard. He does not have a win. He does not have a victory in any of those 10, which is unfortunately how guys like John Rahm get graded, as we mentioned with Rory McIlroy. But this almost feels like Rahm, who should set up very well for Quail Hollow. I don't want to say he's flying under the radar, but most people are just kind of like, yeah, he's been all right. He's been good.
Yeah, and it's funny because I think once people realize what you just said and they sort of notice the stats over Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday, we're literally going to see his ownership percentage start to creep up 3-4 percentage points day by day because you're right. By the way, the initial model, and it is preliminary that I did, guess who rated out first? None other than John Rahm. And as I look at his stats over the last 50, 36 rounds, whatever metric you want to use, they're really, really good. So good that it almost seems, to the point of your question, it almost seems like kind of unbelievable. Like, really? He's been that good? Because he hasn't been flashing like just an eye test or leaderboard test. Like, he hasn't been flashing like these stats reflect. So maybe he is primed to actually win this tournament.
We made a bigger deal out of it when Rory McIlroy had all those top five finishes in a row. Remember before the shutdown last year, it was like, oh my gosh, Rory's got, I don't know what it ended up being, 7-8 top five finishes in a row. We were making more noise about it when Xander was on his stretch of however many top tens he had in 15 starts. It was a ton. We were making more noise about that. We're not even really mentioning it, spending the oxygen on John Rahm and the stretch of golf that he's on, which I find to be quite interesting. To round out the rest of the notables in this field, Sia, Webb Simpson back in action. The aforementioned Xander Schauffele will be in the field. Patrick Cantlay, which we are going to be tied up in knots trying to figure out what to do with Patrick Cantlay this week. Will Zalatoris, the young stud who has just burst onto the scene. And then our defending champion, Max Homa, who as we speak, you know, has been contending at Valspar, looks really good. He's going to go back to a place he has obviously won. I think he's a better version of himself now than he was in 2019. Are any of these names ones that you're going to be keeping a close eye on, especially when odds drop Monday morning or when the pricing, when the salaries come out Monday afternoon?
Yeah, the answer is yes. So what I do typically is I will look at the field before I look at any modeling, any stats, any really anything. So let's, you know, I did that actually yesterday. I looked at the field and I sort of, in knowing we were at Quail Hollow, there were a couple names I wrote down. Like, I'm going to keep my eye, like, I don't want to be diverted from these names because I see something, let's say in the strokes gain metrics, and I'm like, oh no, I can't use them. So I like to separate that out in terms of my research. So Joaquim Niemann, Will Zalatoris, Hovland, and Anser really came to mind in terms of guys that I think might be successful here. And then when I ran a model, which I did like 10 minutes later, all those guys showed up except for, I'll tell you, I was actually grading off the tee when I did that, but all of those guys will show up. But I'll tell you, Niemann and Hovland showed up the highest so far for me.
I'm so glad you mentioned Hovland because I had a note on him and I probably would have forgot to bring this up. He is right now. So again, we're live right now. He's got four holes to go. He's in fourth at the Valspar. This would be the most uneventful No, we did not talk about him a single second on the first cut in round by round recaps. He's going to finish probably inside the top five at the Valspar, and he's doing it in a way that I love. He's inside the top 10 in strokes gained tee to green. He is putting very well, but that's fine. It's all good. The rest of the stuff, I mean, his approach game has been phenomenal. I'm starting to build on Victor Hovland. I'm hoping that we maybe get what would be okay when odds come out tomorrow. What would be a number on Victor Hovland? And I'll think of a number as well that if you saw it on Monday, it would be your first click and you'd fire a bet in.
If Hovland was 22-1 or longer, I would click him. And I think he'll probably be just under that, which honestly, it would still be a pretty good value in my opinion.
I was thinking 25. So we're kind of in the same ballpark. I mean, there's enough big names to potentially get Hovland there. I mean, JT, Bryson, Rahm, they're all going to have to be somewhere around what, 10-1. I don't know how books are going to delineate between those three guys. Rory McIlroy is always an option for the public. So I think there is a chance that we get a 22-1 Victor Hovland on Monday.
It'll be interesting because I also want to know how guys like Patrick Cantlay and Xander Schauffele, how they measure up relative to a Victor Hovland. Like, I'm curious where they are they going to be slightly ahead of him? Probably because of the name, but Hovland's been playing well. Although I will say, you know, he did have a checkered sort of last, you know, 4 to 6 weeks. So maybe that does keep his odds a little bit longer in that 25-1 range.
All right. Before we kick it out of here and go watch to see if Keegan or Burns or maybe your boy Cameron Tringale might steal this away, anybody else that we should be considering, especially for Monday morning? I went to try to go a little bit further down the list to see if I could find somebody that moved the needle for me. I didn't find anything conclusive. How about you?
Yeah, so I'm looking at one guy. So one of the names I wrote down that I didn't mention before I looked at any modeling or stats was Matt Jones. So if we're talking about like a super sleeper, I actually think Matt Jones, but I mean, I know that's kind of a left field punt play, and it will be both from an outright and a pricing standpoint. But I think Matt Jones is interesting. I think Tommy Fleetwood is interesting. I think Tony Finau is interesting. By the way, Tony Finau is another name that I'm curious to see where his odds are relative to a Victor Hovland. But I think we mentioned all the guys that I really like tee to green, that I really like off the tee. I did mention a couple of those punts. I'll mention a couple other guys that I'm not normally on that I think could be very successful next week. Bubba Watson's been pretty good lately. I mean, I have to admit it. I'm not a Bubba guy, but he's been pretty good. He rates out well for this course. And Cameron Davis, you know, I think he was disappointing this week, but that's another guy that could benefit from the length of this course.
To Cameron Davis's defense, he lost nearly 4 strokes putting, which is unlikely to happen again over his 2 rounds. He was a gainer off the tee, which is what you want to see from Cameron Davis. That's his weapon. So there you go. The Wells Fargo Championship first look, a little bit of an appetizer. Sia and Greg will join me on Monday to break this down in full from a DFS perspective. And obviously there will be plenty of content next week, but for now, Sia, thank you very much. I'm glad we could do this, and I wish you the best of luck with your Cameron Tringale sweat the rest of the way.
Thank you, and I'll see you tomorrow for the DFS show.
All right. Producer Jacob does all the hard work behind the scenes. Thank you very much. You can follow Sia at Sia Najad on Twitter. You can follow me at Rick Run Good. This has been The First Cut, and we'll catch you next time.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and 3-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.